Kids' songs have incredible truths in them. Did you know that? Not always, because, you know. But well-chosen ones have incredible truths. And there was this song called W-I-S-D-O-M. What does that stand for?
Wisdom.
Well, doesn't stand for, sorry, it spells wisdom. Absolutely spells wisdom. We'll keep that for another week, shall we? Right, Matt, let's have a look at our first slide. You may remember, if you were with us before Christmas, that we are looking at the book of James. And when we first opened up this book of James, one of the most obvious things from the first sentence is, this guy is hard to misunderstand. He just says it like it is. And I think I said back then that if you misunderstand him, you've got to really work hard, because what he says is so blatantly obvious. So today we're going to carry on with some more blatantly obvious James passages, if that's all right. So we're going to look at wisdom. I'd like you to look at the first picture. Bit of an interesting word here, but who is the most stupid in this picture? Four.
Three.
Might as well finish off. Two or one, I don't know.
All of them.
All of them. I think you're probably right. You have to look at the picture, by the way. I guess you could say that four is not very wise, because they are cutting off the branch that they are sat on. And at times, I guess you might say, oops, that's me. I didn't realize what I was sawing, the very thing that I needed to be stable in life. Number three looks a bit nasty to me. Number three is the one that seems to be enjoying cutting off one and two. But he's obviously not very smart, because he must be angry about something, and he's taking out his anger in a rather interesting way. But number two is so preoccupied with number one that he's not realizing that number three is abusing him with the saw. Make sense? Number one is the interesting one that always gets my attention for some reason, because number one is meant to represent someone that can see exactly what's going on, and it just doesn't say anything about it and just lets it happen. So sometimes wisdom is about recognizing what's going on around us, because we are otherwise in la-la land. Maybe we haven't got our eyes open. Maybe we do have our eyes open and we're too nervous to say something about it. So this is not meant to be anything deep and meaningful, but this is apparently a psychological profiling picture. And depending on whether you say 4, 3, 2 or 1 is meant to tell someone about your character. Now, I don't know about that, okay? I'm just going to leave that right there, because I'm not quite sure what it's trying to say. But stupid, I didn't want to put this up with the kids in the room, because it's not a nice word, is it? If I said, James, you were pretty stupid earlier on when you picked that block. Not as bad as Vanessa, because she made it fall over. Actually, it wasn't Vanessa, it was you, Ian. Sorry, I'm just thinking. Well, maybe Vanessa was stupid for inviting Ian up to play Jenga. But stupid is not the nicest word. But actually, it is kind of the opposite of being wise. Maybe daft is a slightly better word, or thoughtless, or careless, or whatever. But actually, we don't want to be stupid people with our lives, correct? We don't want to be stupid. So let's go on and look at some photographs that was taken from a conference, a team-building conference, all about wisdom. And people had to fess up at this conference. Let me just drop some lights. So at this conference, the idea was to talk about unwise decisions. And so the lady on the left says, my unwise decision was getting a lift home from a stranger late at night. Not wise. I think we'd all agree, not wise. The other person on the right, my unwise decision, driving fast on roads. Again, not wise. And I think we all know that this is not the smartest stuff to do. But there are some more that came out of this same day. Here we go. My unwise decision, spending my student loan on a small sailing boat and living there for 2 years. That's not my kind of decision. Matt's now saying, that sounds good. My unwise decision, being overdrawn far too often. Okay. Diving into a shallow swimming pool. I wonder what the consequences of that were. I don't want to know about that, really. That doesn't sound smart, though. And how about this? Looking at my phone instead of watching where I was walking. There's a story there, isn't there? So we know that every day we do have to make decisions. And sometimes we make good ones and sometimes we don't. So my question to us at the start of our kind of thought process this morning, where do you get your wisdom from? I'm just going to pause. Where do you get your wisdom from? Experience? Yeah? Does that mean that older people are always wiser? Because they've had more experiences. But usually, lies! Experience is a good one, though. Seriously, isn't it? And especially if we've learnt from maybe some mistakes. If we're brave enough to go, ain't doing that again. Actually, wisdom can come from experience. Does it have to be our experiences? No. So actually, there is some truth there that if someone else is willing to share their experiences with us, maybe we can gain wisdom from their positive or negative, by the way. I agree. I've got some other places. Education. If you've been to university, are you wise? No. Not automatically, as I can guarantee that. How about friends? Depends on the friends. Just being honest. You could say colleagues, I suppose. You don't get to choose those very, very much, do you? Family. You're bitter and twisted down there this morning. It does. Sometimes our family can give wisdom, and other times, depending on maybe their experiences or maybe their bias or maybe they want us to go in a certain way, maybe their wisdom is more about steering and controlling sometimes. How about this one? The internet. Yeah. Just because it says how to cut off a gas pipe, it's not a good idea to do it. The Bible. Yes. But the Bible doesn't necessarily have a verse about the specifics of what I should say to my son or my daughter, would you agree, sometimes? Because parenting is a lot of decisions needed every day. How you handle your work life, a lot of decisions every day. And so yes, the Bible does have absolute nuggets of wisdom in there, but it's about us applying it, isn't it? And being wise in which is the right time. The Holy Spirit to reveal what we should do and when, absolutely. So let's go back to the book of James. We've talked about a couple of bits that James has said, but in James chapter 3, we read this. Two kinds of wisdom, he says. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, in inverted commas, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So James, once again, is being very straight down the line. You need to be careful what wisdom you listen to. Is the advice that you're getting about this problem at work, let's say, is the advice about your finances when money is tighter now than it was maybe a year ago, is the advice you're following godly? Is it coming from a pure place? Does it build up others? Does it encourage you? Does it take you to the place you need to be? Or is the wisdom that we're following maybe something we've genuinely seen on the internet? Or a mate told us about the safe bet if you go on Red Rum at the Grand National. A friend of mine, just gave up his job because he heard of a quick, rich, what do they call it? Get rich quick scheme. That's what I'm looking for. In a different country. So he left the UK. I'm being totally serious here. He left the UK about, where are we? What's the date today? 21st? So he left on the 3rd of January. So not that long ago, less than 3 weeks ago, left the country, left the UK to go and get rich in America. Last week, he came back. Seriously. And he said it was a scam. And guess what? I told him that's a scam. And now, don't get me wrong, I am not the wisest person all the time. But sometimes you need someone outside the situation to go, wake up! Woohoo! So now, I don't know what he's going to do, but he's back anyway. Which is actually good, because he's now in a place to hopefully hear from friends, actually, now what are we going to do now? How are we going to pick this up? But we can all be a little bit like that. We can take wisdom from the wrong sources. An unknown poet wrote this: "If wisdom's ways you wisely seek, 5 things you should observe with care: of whom you speak, to whom you speak, and how, and when, and where." It's quite good, actually. I don't know who wrote it, but I thought I'm going to use it. So what is wisdom? If we know that wisdom is not those things that those people put on those posters, like driving too fast or buying boats and things and being impulsive, what is wisdom? I've learnt 2 new words in my dictionary this week. I'm going to share them with you. Sapience. Even my wife didn't know these either. Sapience. It's an old French word that comes from the Latin sapientia, which represents good taste, good sense, intelligence, or wisdom. And the root is to taste or to perceive. Notice I put it in bold there. The ability to apply knowledge or experience or understanding or common sense and insight. Of course, the problem with common sense is it's not that common. And then there's this one, sagacity. Ooh, I like that. If you are sagacious. Bill, are you sagacious? He's pretending he knows what it means. He's just read it like everybody else. So the Latin word sagacitas is the forefather of our word sagacity. I never even heard of this before this week. Giving it the meaning wisdom. Just remember that it contains the word sage, which means wise one, or wise ancestors were called sages. Okay, let's now look at a different part of the Bible about someone who was renowned for wisdom, Solomon. Okay, so let's have a look. 1 Kings chapter 3 says this: "Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, 'Ask for whatever you want me to give you.' Solomon answered, 'You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only like a child, and I do not know how best to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?' The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, 'Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands, as David your father did, I will also give you a long life.'" So when Solomon asked for the ability to discern right from wrong, how to govern justly and fairly and right, that is wisdom. And God said, "Here you go." And if you want to go and read the rest of that chapter, 1 Kings chapter 3, it goes on to how he discerned. He told the difference between very difficult, weird situations, identifying who was telling the truth, who was telling lies. That's hard. That's hard today, right? So I've got some suggestions, and you can add to these. I think wisdom, according to this, is discerning what to do and when to do it. That's a Steve-ism. That's a suggestion. You don't have to nod. How about this? When to act quickly or when to be patient, even if maybe doing nothing is the right thing. Wisdom. When is the right time? When is this not the right time? When to step in? When to step back? Wisdom is knowing when to stay on your current course, when to admit it's not working, and when to make a change. Wisdom is knowing when to say yes and when to say no. Wisdom says I should maybe pick up the phone. Wisdom also says put it down. Wisdom is knowing that many things in life are good in moderation, but most are harmful in excess. Wisdom tells us what to watch on TV and when to turn it off. When to say something, when to say nothing. When to support, when to challenge. Wisdom is asking how being a follower of Jesus brings perspective to this decision. What do we think? We all need decisions, yes? Sometimes we make good ones, sometimes we make less good ones. Young people have a lot of decisions ahead of them. Old people have made some, but still have daily decisions ahead of them. You see, the Bible and what James described was that there are two types of influence in our life. Are we going to go with the earthly influence and the wisdom of our age, you might say? And that often says go for success, go for money, go for a quick win. A bit like my friend did. He saw an opportunity, thought, I can get something here, and went for it. And sometimes maybe that is the right thing, but in this case, I don't think it was. But there's another source of wisdom, and that is God's wisdom, which says, even if you think this is the way it's going to go, just pause. God's wisdom says, hang on. Maybe our best wisdom is, rather than us trying to fix everything, that's my character flaw, I'm a fixer. Not everyone's agreeing, but Kathy's agreeing with me. Are you a fixer, Kathy? Or are you nodding saying I'm a fixer?
I've got a new file on my computer.
What does it say?
Fixer of everything.
Oh.
So I learned to fix something.
Okay. It is nice to be a kind of fixer. But in God's wisdom, sometimes it's just hands off, let God do some work here. Give him some time, give the situation some space. How many of you have made a wrong decision? Ian, yeah, it was that block earlier on. That was not a good decision. The thing is, if we are really honest, we make decisions based on some information in front of us, maybe some experience, as we said, maybe some guidance from friends. How often do we just pray first? Because I don't. And I'm not talking about decisions about which supermarket to go through, because I don't think God cares too much about whether you go to Lidl's or Aldi or Tesco's or Sainsbury's or whatever else. But the truth is that there are major decisions. And like I said earlier, I'm still a parent, even though my youngest is now at uni and my other two are gone as well. Actually, being a parent was just 20-odd years of, what do? What do I say? And Louise normally says, Stephen, say nothing. Stephen, shut up. Sometimes she's right. Sometimes she's wrong. Can I just say that because she's not in the room? Sometimes she's right. Sometimes she's wrong. But this is the issue. If we go back to that question, where do we get our wisdom? This is what James is saying. There are two types. Yes, take in the situation. Use your common sense. Use the reasoning and the brain that God gave you. But where is God in the process? And when are you asking him for his guidance? And that's what I believe James is saying to us today. I often do not like American preachers. It's not my thing, even though sometimes they say good stuff. We're going to watch a video where, unusually, they're saying some good stuff. So I want you to actually pay a little bit of attention. Thomas, if you can get the sound ready, because I want everyone to hear every word. Listen carefully to what this guy says about wisdom. Thank you, Matt.
We live in a day when more knowledge is literally at our fingertips than ever before. With the click of a button or the touch of a screen, we can learn about any topic imaginable. Millions of articles, instructional videos, and the latest breaking news seem to swirl around us. This explosion of information fills our brains and makes us wiser than ever before. Or does it? The mere collection of facts does not necessarily lead to wise behavior. We all know people with brilliant minds who make unfortunate choices because they lack wisdom. The world has seen far too many tyrants who know how to fight a war, but not how to avoid one. A grade school teacher said she could train her students to get a perfect score on a test of facts, but she did not consider herself successful unless she taught them how to use those facts to serve others and make the world a better place. Knowledge, to be useful, cannot be a static collection. It must lead to better behavior and improved lives. Anciently, King Solomon prayed for wisdom, prizing this gift above riches, fame, or even health, so that he could judge his people wisely. But one does not need wealth or a lofty social status to become wise. The dilemmas and challenges of everyday life are enough to teach anyone wisdom if we approach them with humility, compassion, integrity, and commitment to high standards. For example, one lesson we'll learn is that while it's wonderful to know facts, it's sometimes more wonderful to keep those facts in our pocket and allow others to shine. Wisdom, we'll find, is less about showing how much we know and more about how much we can give to those around us. This is one reason being wise always brings greater happiness. While we immerse ourselves in the gaining of knowledge, we are wise to be wise as well. As a wise humorist once said, knowledge consists of knowing that a tomato is a fruit, and wisdom consists of not putting it in a fruit salad.
So why do we need wisdom? We don't comment about whether we like them or not, but have they been wise lately? It's discussion, it's debatable. How about this guy, just to add to the wisdom story of Harry and Meghan? And actually, what's interesting, if you read some of the articles, I'm not in any way condoning what he said, by the way, but what was interesting was that his own daughter had to say, "My dad's a prat." And then he went, "Oh, did I write that thing wisely?" And he admitted he rushed it. He wrote something. Was it the Daily? What was the paper he wrote it in? I don't remember. The Sun, was it? Oh. But anyway, he wrote his article for the newspaper and he admitted that he was thoughtless. He rushed it. He didn't get anyone to sense check it. And now it's caused, well, will cause an awful lot of consequences negatively for him. Jeremy Clarkson. So why do we need wisdom? I just want to read the beginning of an entire book in the Bible called Proverbs. Now, Proverbs, you have to be very careful. You can't just throw a proverb at someone and say, that's the answer to your problem. But actually, Proverbs in the Bible is a book full of wisdom. And it's incredibly useful. But this is what is written at the very beginning. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of King David, king of Israel. The purpose for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who know little, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. It's also for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That last sentence is important. The fear of the Lord is where it starts. That's the beginning of wisdom, fearing God. Now, that doesn't mean to cower and to be afraid that he is going to smite us because he hates us and he doesn't like humans and he's squashing and oppressing people. That's not what fear of the Lord is. Fear of the Lord is acknowledging he is God and we are not. That's what fear of God is. That's what wisdom is. There is another perspective, a godly perspective, and what I think I know as a human being is worth very, very little in comparison to what God sees, because God sees this situation, plus the consequences we can't imagine. He sees where it's going to go. He sees where it's going to influence and ripple through our lives for the next 30 years. We don't have that perspective. So fear of God, humility is what James wrote, didn't he? Be humble in wisdom. Don't ever get too big for your boots. Just know we are small in the grand scheme of things, and God sees. So let's finish with what James said about how do I get it then? If we acknowledge that it's good, if we acknowledge that we need it, if we acknowledge that our lives are enriched and more godly because of it. James says this, not in chapter 3 where we started, but in chapter 1. I'm going to read it, and you can see it in red there. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, he wrote to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. We've had talks on previous weeks about this, okay? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. But, chapter 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave on the sea, blown and tossed around by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So if you want God's wisdom in a situation, guess what James says we have to do? Ask for it. Do we? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we're marching on because the internet says how to do it. I'm just being honest with you. So my number one top tip, straight from the book of James this morning, is if you need God's guidance, for goodness sake, ask him. He wants to give it to you. Notice here, it's fascinating how James is very blunt. It says it will be given to you. James says it will be. God is not trying to watch us make a right mess of our lives, weaving from, you know, side to side, not knowing whether we're coming or going. Just ask him and he will reveal it to us. But then there's this kind of caveat, this clause that says, but actually, do it with one mind. Don't be like double-minded. Don't just be half-hearted. If you're going to ask God what the right decision is, my suggestion is this. Don't ignore it. Because I know, I've been around a bit myself, I've been around church circles quite a while. There's a lot of people, myself included, who sometimes don't ask God in case I don't like what he says. Aren't we all a bit like that at times? Yeah? Well, when we need direction, if we are going to come to God in that humility, in that honesty that says, God, I don't know what I'm doing and I need your guidance, at least have the integrity to say, and I will act on it when you tell me what the right thing to do is. How easy it is for each of us to have our agenda, so we pray with our agenda, and we only magically hear God when he agrees with us. When he doesn't agree with us, we go to a different source of wisdom until we find the one that says it's okay for us to do the thing we want to do. Don't you all look at me like it's just me. Come on. James is speaking to us and saying, ask for God's wisdom, but then follow through and actually be willing to pay attention to it, I guess, and follow it. Time is going, so I'm just going to jump back to the end. Matt, you can find it, the one that's Matthew 7. That image that we had when the children were with us earlier, with the blocks falling down, it's not complicated. Building your house on the rock and not on the sand. Keep going, Matt. It's not complicated. It's actually full of wisdom. The fact that we've got to choose daily. What are we building our life on? Let me just read it briefly again. Everyone who hears these words of mine, this is Jesus talking, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So let me finish again with the question, where do we get our wisdom from? Where is it from? Is it from the world? Because James says that's on offer. Or is it from God? Do we pray? Do we pray? Do we bring our decisions daily, whether it's family, whether it's career, whether it's money, whether it's troubles at work, troubles with our own temptations and desires. Do we bring it to God and say, God, give me a way, show me the way that I can't see? And if he does answer us, when he answers us, will we listen? We're going to finish by singing a song that I think has got some incredible words. Matt, if you can bring up the song, please. God, I look to you. Let me just read it. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. Straightforward words. I love it when songs aren't complicated. Straightforward words. My suggestion as we finish this morning is that we do need God's wisdom, every single one of us, young or old, rich or poor, living in the UK, living abroad. We need God's wisdom because our lives can so quickly turn into a mess without it. And God does call us to live abundantly. You do recognize that in the Bible, right? He's not calling us to have a life of mess and bad relationships and children that don't speak to us. That's not what we're called to. Life can throw that at us, and it does. How we handle it is where God wants to be, right in the middle of our pain, in the storm where the rain comes and the floods start rising. Because that happens on both houses. Did you notice that in the story that Jesus said? Both of those people's lives were absolutely battered by circumstance. But the one on the rock is the one that stood. So we're going to finish by singing this song, God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. So give me wisdom, you know just what to do. Heavenly Father, we recognize that our wisdom is based on human inputs most of the time. Our own experiences, our own intellect or education or family or friends. God, help us to look to you. We thank you for having godly counsel and godly friends around us, and we pray that you would use them to speak to us. But give us that bravery, Lord, that when you do answer our prayer, when you do show us the way, even if it doesn't line up with what we wanted, Lord, give us the courage to follow through with that, so that we might see every situation transformed and give you the glory for seeing situations that we could not see unfolding nicely, seeing relationships restored, seeing awful situations transformed because of your goodness. Help us to look to you, God, we pray.